Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
A Voice of St. Louis original podcast.
Let's send you into the weekend with everything you need to know from around St. Louis in the St. Louis All Local. Today is Friday, June 28th. I'm Michael Calhoun. Our top story this hour, five Missouri prison guards are charged with murder and a fifth with accessory to involuntary manslaughter in the death of 38-year-old Othel Moore Jr.
Cole County Prosecutor Locke Thompson says during a routine sweep of the cells, Moore was pepper sprayed twice, put in a spit hood, leg wrap, and restraint chair, then moved to a separate housing area where he was left for 30 minutes. The attorney for Mr. Moore's family, Andrew M. Stroth, said this happened back in December 2023 at the Jefferson City Correctional Center.
They deployed shock gloves on him, and at the end of the day, witnessed by several inmates, Othel was unjustifiably killed. Similar to George Floyd, the inmates will tell you all they could hear was Othel Moore saying, "I can't breathe."
In addition to the indictment, Stroth has filed a 14-count federal civil rights suit on behalf of Mr. Moore's family against Missouri's Department of Corrections, the Jefferson City Correctional Center, and the five correction officers accused of having roles in Othel Moore Jr.'s death. Maria Aquina, KMOX News.
A guilty plea this morning from a man who hit and killed a 17-year-old near Ted Drew's frozen custard 2 years ago. In exchange for his plea, Jacob Adler was sentenced to 120 days shock time in the Missouri Department of Corrections, separated from the general population. After that time, the court will decide whether he will be released on probation or serve a five-year sentence. Adler was apologetic in the courtroom, which was packed with Matthew Nicolai's friends. Nicolai and his family were crossing Chippewa at about 8 on a July night when he was hit by a truck driven by Adler, which caused him to fall into another lane of traffic and was hit by another car. He died of his injuries. Adler took off, and the circuit attorney's office says 2 days later he took his truck to a body shop to conceal the damage. Illinois State Police offering training to help officers ID children who are being trafficked.
Illinois State Police Lieutenant Brendan Jehoviak says that child and human trafficking looks different in real life compared to how it looks on social media or in Hollywood. He says it happens more frequently on a smaller, localized scale.
Trading a product, whether it's trading drugs, trading even a place to stay for sex. And a lot of small towns, and what we're seeing is that both males and females and kids, you know, are exploited for sexual purposes.
The training will help officers during routine traffic stops pick up on a child's behavior and if they are acting differently because they are not with a parent or someone familiar. Sean Malone, KMOX News.
If Democratic Party leaders convince Joe Biden to withdraw his name for president, where might they turn? KMOX's Hancock and Kelly tackled that question.
Democrat Michael Kelly threw out some names, California Governor Gavin Newsom and Vice President Harris being two of them.
Kamala Harris has problems. I don't think she should be the candidate, but rightfully so. She is the vice president. She's running with, and they have a record to run on, and it's a positive one.
Republican John Hancock says with the DNC holding its convention in Chicago, perhaps party leaders will consider a hometown candidate.
Pritzker would make a lot of sense. You know, he's the governor of the home state at the convention. He could be a consensus candidate. I'm no fan of J.B. Pritzker, but he's generally likable.
The convention runs August 19th through the 22nd. Brad Choate, KMOX News.
The St. Louis Board of Aldermen approved the city's budget, but not all in favor of it.
It's a garbage in, garbage out issue for me.
That's Alderman Brett Narayan discussing his no vote. He says he was disappointed that the city lacks the power to address the budget's flaws, in his opinion.
The departments were saying that they simply don't have enough to function correctly. And I know, and I can't speak for all my colleagues, but I feel confident they would agree with me that the things that we're hearing about the most are a breakdown of basic city services.
The Board of Aldermen could soon have more power over the budget. A bill finalized by the board would give aldermen the power to increase funding to departments. Currently, they can only decrease funding and can only request that increases be made. The setup is almost done for Pride Fest this weekend downtown.
We're not going to go anywhere. You can talk about us, you can put us down, but we're beautiful and we're going to stay here.
Police say they've been working with organizers for months to make sure the celebration is safe. Jordan Braxton with Pride St. Louis tells us this year's theme.
It is unleash your pride, because we want people to come and just show your pride. Whatever your pride is, unleash it. Come and have fun and celebrate the diversity and greatness that we have in our community.
The festival begins at 10 Saturday morning. The parade is at noon on Sunday.
As we continue, we've stepped outside the KMOX studio to all of the activity happening as the setup continues for Pride Fest. And joining us right now is Jordan Braxton, the Director of Inclusion, Diversity, and Outreach at Pride St. Louis. Thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you for asking me. And happy Pride.
Happy Pride. Yeah, how's it going? How's the setup?
Setup's going well. We're getting a lot of vendors set up today. Today is just a pre-setup. So everybody's come to set up, food vendors, some of our nonprofit village is setting up today. A lot of our sponsors are setting up today. So it's just going good. It's going to be a long day, but it's going to be a great day.
How do you see the weather forecast for the weekend?
It's going to be hot tomorrow, and then it's going to cool down and be about high 85 on Sunday, just in time for our wonderful parade on Sunday.
And what time does that step off?
We step off at noon, starts off at 10th and Market and goes to 16th and Market. And we have about 200 entries. We have floats and wonderful walking groups, so we encourage everybody to come out and see it.
And what is the theme this year? What's new this year?
It is unleash your pride, because we want people to come and just show your pride. Whatever your pride is, unleash it. Come and have fun and celebrate the diversity and greatness that we have in our community.
Now, I understand there's something new when it comes to the food offerings here.
Yes, this year we're having only local food vendors. So in the past, you know, there's a vendor circuit that people go around to all the different festivals, but we said nope, we want to showcase our local vendors, and we even have vegan and vegetarian options this year.
I know I do love the typical fair funnel cakes and hot dogs that go around to all the fairs, but we have so many great restaurants in St. Louis too.
Oh yes, we do. And they are, some of those are right here at our Pride Fest. So as restaurants are shutting down, which is sad, but we got some of the best restaurants right here in St. Louis going to represent over the weekend.
Now, I understand that this makes sense, the second biggest festival behind Mardi Gras in the St. Louis area.
Yes, it is. We have the second biggest festival and the second largest Pride Parade. And one year we beat Mardi Gras, I think it was 2005, for best parade.
Oh, my gosh.
They're still not letting us live that down.
What is it? What goes into planning something like this, the different partners you have to work with? We just got a release from St. Louis Police about their preparations. What does it take to put something like this on?
It's a year-round operation. We'll take about a week off, and then we start planning for next year and figure out what the theme is going to be, contact sponsors, see if they want to come back, vendors, just, you know, where we're going to have it, what elements we liked and didn't like, what worked and didn't work, and then just start planning. It's kind of like when you hear on TV about the Rose Parade. They get one day off, and you start again. So we got to just, because planning is part of the preparation, and it makes what the festival just run so easy and so smoothly, because, you know, I've been involved for 40 years now, and so, you know, it's like clockwork.
How has it evolved?
Well, when it first, you know, our very first Pride Fest was in 1980. And back then, you know, it was not okay to be lesbian or gay or trans or bi, queer, intersex or asexual. So a lot of people had to hide their faces and you couldn't take any pictures really. And how we've evolved is that, of course, we've gotten bigger. We have about 340,000 people come over the weekend. We have more food vendors. We have more people, more vendors that are coming to be a part of it. Sponsorships has grown. We got more corporations and small businesses and even some nonprofits that want to be our sponsors. And it's just about people coming out and showing themselves. And we're not in the closet hiding anymore. We're right here on downtown St. Louis on Market showing who we are.
And on that note, what would you say Pride means in 2024? Why is it important still?
Because Pride is important because we have to show the world that we're still here and we're not going to go anywhere. We will not be erased, especially our trans community, because our community was built on the back of some wonderful trans women. And remember, Sylvia Rivera and Marsha P. Johnson started the revolution that is now Pride Fest. The first Pride was a riot. So we are here in queer. We're going to drink some beer, have a good time. We're not going to go anywhere. You can talk about us. You can put us down. But we're beautiful, and we're going to stay here.
And as we wrap up, the stages are up. Maybe some of the musical performances that'll be here.
Yes, on Sunday, we're closing out our festival with Crystal Waters, you know, la-da-dee, la-da-da. And also, Tedrick Hall is going to be here on Sunday. So we have some great entertainment all weekend, and we cannot forget our local entertainment that's going to be here, too. We're going to have ballroom on the main stage. The Tens Project's going to come and do some ballroom and some voguing for us. So we have a drag show put on by the Divas of the Grove. So we just have a lot of wonderful, there's a mixed bag of entertainment. Oh, and on Saturday at 11, we do have our military wreath-laying ceremony where we honor those people in our community who made the ultimate sacrifice. And we have partnered with Soldiers Memorial, and it's going to be a wonderful tribute to those people.
A lot happening this weekend across from City Hall and Tucker, downtown St. Louis. Jordan Braxton, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for asking me. Happy Pride.
You can download the Odyssey app and favorite KMOX to get St. Louis news alerts.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.